Hey there, this is Heather McAllister, a health coach for women in midlife. I went from feeling fat and tired at 40 to living my best life ever 9 years later. I now feel better than ever in my body and in my clothes. I feel a renewed sense of purpose and energy, and I'm here to share that with you. It was not an easy path. I had a lot of missteps along the way. But all those missteps have made it easier to help women facing the same struggles. So I created the Get Better with Heather podcast to give you simple and effective strategies to do the same thing. So if you're a woman in midlife and you're struggling to feel good in your body, to take off extra weight without obsessing over food, to get motivated and get moving, then this podcast is for you. Hit the subscribe button to stay up to date, and let's get started. Good morning. This is Heather McAllister, health and life coach. How are you today? So it's been a while since I recorded an episode. I've had a lot of things going on. Quick update. I started a YouTube channel, Get Better with Heather. You could check that out for more information, for different content, if you want to see my face. and that's been taking up quite a bit of my time. I've also started using a CGM, or a continuous glucose monitor, which I'm going to talk about today, actually. And the topic for today is the number one problem women face when it comes to being healthy overall, but also the number one problem that's contributing to uncontrolled weight gain and resistant weight loss. So if you're struggling with belly fat, if you're having a real hard time losing weight, and this seems to be the topic that I talk about the most, because as a health coach, that is the thing that most women that I coach are coming to me for. And if you're in the over 40 age bracket, it tends to be a very frustrating thing. And if you are in that over 40 age bracket, you probably grew up, or most of your eating habits were formed during the 80s and 90s with the low fat craze and the calorie counting and the strict dieting. Which is what happened to me, and one of the reasons why I've struggled as an adult with keeping a healthy balance. I was overly restrictive with calories, and then, you know, kind of swung the other way and would say screw it all and eat whatever I wanted. And then when I hit 40, I like instantly put on belly fat, and I was like, what is going on? What the heck is the matter with my body? I would exercise and try to eat what I thought was healthy, and I was still struggling with resistant weight gain. And then I also started to see my A1C creep up. And while I was never diagnosed pre-diabetic, I was getting pretty close. And that was really eye-opening to me, because as an occupational therapist, I work with a lot of patients and the repercussions of having type 2 diabetes. So it really has sent me on this journey to understand what's going on, not only in my own body, but to help other people understand what's going on in their body so that they can live a healthy life. And I will tell you that the number one thing that you must address if you want to live a healthy life into adulthood, this is the one thing that you cannot miss, and that is insulin sensitivity and insulin resistance. So that's really what I'm going to talk about today, how that relates to metabolic disease, whether you're a man or a woman. Although 70% of adult women who are overweight have insulin resistance. So definitely listen to this, because as scary as it can sound, and I just want it to be eye-opening, because it was something that I was really in denial about. And the A1C was kind of opening my, it was kind of an eye-opener for me. But then also, over these years, I've gotten more and more open to understanding what's going on in my body, listening to my body, But I will tell you, until I popped on that continuous glucose monitor, you know, my things that I was eating that was causing my blood sugar to elevate were asymptomatic, meaning I had no symptoms, had no idea that my blood sugar levels were spiking with some of the foods that I was eating. I mean, I knew, but I didn't really know until I saw with my own eyes what was going on with my blood sugar levels. So what is metabolic disease? Metabolic disease has the underlying problem often of insulin resistance and a lack of insulin sensitivity. So that's really the big problem. And it comes down to your body's decreased ability or inability to perform effectively in how it uses energy and stores energy. And some of the signs that this may be going on is an increase in your waist circumference. So you can easily measure your hips and your waist, and you divide your waist measurement by your hip measurement. And if you're a woman and it's more than 0.85, that would be a signal that insulin resistance is a factor on some level. Now, what's interesting is that when I had my A1C tested, it was borderline high, but not diagnosable as pre-diabetic. So pretty much the doctors say, you're okay, you're fine, you're not sick at all because you're not pre-diabetic yet. But it's a signal and it's a spectrum and it's not something that's necessarily on or off. Whether your A1C is 5.7 or 6.1, you know, those things can change. And if they're trending up, you certainly want to do something about it. You may not be sick in that moment. And I say sick with air quotes because, you know, once it becomes, you know, a medical diagnosis, you're diagnosed as it, right? But you can have all of these things kind of simmering and causing health problems over time and causing damage to your body. So it's good to be aware. Okay, enough of my rant. The next waist circumference measurement. Now these are really good measurements if you want to know and you want to stop being in denial about it. And I'm encouraging you to muster up the courage to face the facts, because I think a lot of times we don't want to face the facts. And I've been like that myself. I still don't like getting on the scale because it messes with my mind. I think, oh my God, how did I get to be that weight? Well, I'm telling you that your waist circumference is more important than your overall body weight. Okay. Your waist circumference is going to tell you how much fat you have in your abdomen. And this is an indicator of metabolic disease, insulin resistance, and all of those other things that can cause an increased risk for mortality, disease, and all that stuff. So if this is something that you're kind of struggling with, or you're really needing a guiding hand, I am open to talking to you about it. We can chit chat on the phone. You don't have to sign up as a client, but you can certainly explore that possibility with me. So just get in touch with me. The next measurement, waist circumference, you can take your waist circumference and compare it to your height. And if your waist circumference is more than half your height, then that is also a really good indicator or a bad sign that you are kind of going down that path of metabolic disease. Some other symptoms, and these become more diagnosable. Again, this is a conversation to have with your medical doctor. Although I will say that if you're kind of not quite past the threshold, they're going to say you're perfectly fine and healthy. Doesn't mean that you can't improve these things to live a healthier, longer, you know, life and have less risk for all kinds of diagnoses. But if your blood pressure is more than 130 over 85, that could be a signal. If your A1C is raised, now A1C can be a little bit deceiving because you can have a high A1C and your blood sugar levels may not reflect your true blood sugar levels. So that's sometimes not completely accurate. But if your A1C is up, if your triglycerides are more than 150, if your HDLs are low, And if your fasting glucose is more than 100, those are also signs. But if you just look at home at your, let's say you've seen your doctor and they say, you're fine. You know, they might say, oh, you need to lose some weight. But they look at your waist circumference. I mean, they look at all your numbers and they say, you're fine. Your A1C is not quite past the threshold. Maybe your cholesterol is a little higher than normal. Your blood pressure may be completely fine. You know, all of that. From my standpoint, I don't want to wait for those numbers to be a problem before I take care of them. And that's kind of where I come in as a health coach, actually. And that's where I'm at, because so many of my patients, I think, that I've seen over the years, you know, they developed type 2 diabetes, sort of one of the end results of metabolic disease. And it caused all kinds of problems in their body, and their body's inflamed and it causes all kinds of problems. And a lot of people just don't know that this is something you can prevent. This is not inevitable. Gaining weight after 40, ladies, is not inevitable. I mean, you're not necessarily going to be the size you were when you were 20, and nor should you. But you can stay healthy and you could reduce the fat on your belly. Your declining estrogen levels are, you know, making it more likely for you to have belly fat, something that estrogen protects you from. And you could talk to your doctor. There's hormone replacement therapies that, you know, potentially can help with that. But I'm telling you that there are ways to put you in charge, and it's doable. You know, if you've been on and off diets before and you've had a hard time losing weight, I get it. I've been there. But you know, my job as a health coach is really to encourage people and empower people that these things are all really possible, that losing weight, getting healthier and feeling good in your skin is not only possible, but it is and can be done. So if you really want to be healthy, if you want to live, if you're in your 40s and you're kind of like me, like, you know, okay, we're facing now our other half of life, right? I want to be able to keep up with my kids. I want to someday be able to keep up with my grandkids. I want to enjoy my life. I want to be able to do things now. And we should. So that's really who this podcast and most of my content is really aimed at. And so I hope you get some good out of it. Okay, so what's going on in our body? So this insulin resistance stuff sounds kind of scary. Basically, what happens is, and this is all, you know, everybody's a little bit different, whether, you know, it's your gender, your genetics, your lifestyle, how much you move. There's so many different factors. The stress in your life, all of these things are going to influence your health. So this isn't a blanket statement for everybody, but in general, having a diet that has been relatively high in carbohydrates, you know, all the starches and sugars, sodas, coupling that with a relatively inactive lifestyle, sets us up to become insulin resistant. Why does that happen? So when we eat certain things, like let's say you have a soda or an orange juice, or, you know, at this point it could be a half a cup of rice, actually, that can make your blood sugar level spike really high. And when your blood sugar level spikes really high like that, your body detects this as sort of like a little emergency. So it tells your pancreas to secrete insulin. Insulin shoots up quickly when there's a high spike. So pretty much everything we eat causes some level of rise in our blood sugar levels, but the bigger the area, the bigger the variability, which is this sort of, if you looked on a graph, that spike in blood sugar levels causes insulin to be secreted. When insulin is secreted, it tells your body to not burn fat, to get the sugar levels down. Now, when we do eat foods that are high in sugars and starches, that convert quickly. So this isn't just eating sugars. A lot of times people will be like, but popcorn has no sugar in it. But popcorn is a carbohydrate that turns very quickly to sugar when it's converted through your digestive system. So it's pretty much the same thing. Same thing as rice. Rice has no sugar in it. But in my body, it responds very similarly than if I were to just eat sugar. So 80% of sugars in a healthy body gets absorbed into muscle tissue. So if you have healthy muscles and you have healthy metabolism, so your muscles are healthy and strong and able to absorb that sugar, then, you know, you don't need as much insulin to be secreted. There's less of an insulin response. But if over time you have, you know, less muscle tissue, a less healthy metabolism or place for this glucose to go, insulin has to be secreted all the more. And then what happens over time is if you're eating like this constantly, you're swimming in insulin all the time. And if your body is swimming in insulin all the time, your cells become resistant to it. This can happen to anyone. And again, this can vary from person to person, how quickly, you know, genetically we're all a little bit different, but if you're swimming in insulin all the time, meaning you're eating foods that are high in carbohydrates constantly, you have low muscle, lean body, muscle mass, if you're sitting a lot of the day and your muscles are not absorbing the sugar, then you've got high sugar levels, high insulin levels. Over time, that insulin becomes less effective. When it becomes less effective, then the sugar is going to stay higher. And that higher level of sugar causes oxidative stress. So it ages you faster and causes other problems with your nerves and blood vessels in your body, which, you know, that's kind of like more the end result of it. But there's this process that happens for many, 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 many years before it ever shows up as being insulin resistant in a lot of people. There are some times that people can become type 2 diabetic because of a major stress on their body. Probably it's been happening for a lot of years, and that was just sort of the thing that sort of broke the camel's back. Like if you went into the hospital with some kind of an illness or injury, you might suddenly become type 2 diabetic. Your blood sugar levels are really, really high because of stress. Now, chronic stress can also cause blood sugar levels to rise, so can exercise, although we do know that exercise is good for you. But muscle is the number one storage for glucose. And if not, then it gets stored as fat. So insulin is kind of what we call kind of like an anabolic hormone. So it is causing growth, all kinds of growth. Fat storage growth can be one of them. And can also lead to potentially different things like cancer and all of that. If you're kind of going down this road of metabolic disease, the end result can increase your risk for things like heart disease, Alzheimer's, cancer, all this other like potentially bad stuff. So this is actually really important. And that's why I said, if you really care about your health, if you really want to be healthy, being insulin sensitive and reducing your insulin resistance is crucial. It's not a if, it's a must. But then insulin resistance is a continuum. And what we want to do, so in order to get healthy, is we want to be metabolically flexible. So when I was saying that this is sort of the underperforming of how your body is able to use and store energy, it's having a hard time using glucose, right? It's having a hard time getting rid of it out of your blood. So if your muscles are not strong enough, or not healthy enough, I shouldn't say strong enough, but if they aren't healthy enough to uptake that glucose, then it gets stored as fat. And you can't burn fat if your insulin levels are high all the time, which they're going to be if your body is not sensitive to insulin, because anytime you eat a starchy, starchy sugary foods is really relative once you become insulin resistant. Because like I said, even a half a cup of rice can be like eating a tablespoon of sugar in your body and cause your insulin levels to go up. So if you're trying to lose weight and you're eating, you know, carbohydrates that cause your body to spike your blood sugar, and you're eating that throughout the day or at every meal, then you're going to struggle with weight loss resistance. So what is the cure for insulin resistance? The number one thing that, and I say cure in quotes here, that one way to turn around your insulin resistance and start going the other way is to reduce your body weight. So weight loss is the number one way. And there are healthier ways to do this because you could count calories and restrict calories and lose weight and increase your insulin sensitivity by doing that. But it's not sustainable. And a lot of times your then basal metabolic rate, so how, you know, how well you're able to use energy effectively, will go down. So then you continually need to eat less and less and less in order to maintain or lose more weight. So there are other healthier ways to do it, and I'm going to actually get to that in just a minute. But the key thing, so if you get anything out of this podcast today, the key thing is to reduce your blood sugar levels overall, have better balance, less glycemic variability. So glycemic variability are those big, big spikes. You want to see more of a, like if you were looking at a graph, less spikes and less curves. So you want to see better balance overall, and you want to see a better ability for your insulin to work in your body. And the key to that is to eat low carbohydrate. And that's just the, that's what it is. That's the thing, eating low carbs. Now, I'm not saying this is the end all be all for all weight loss. There are a lot of things that can cause weight gain. This is just the number one thing right now that most of us are facing. And if you are having a hard time losing weight, this is probably, you know, unless there's some other like major thing, glaringly obvious, or that's something that's like, you know, your physician has told you to address or whatever. It's low carb. Now, I will say with a caveat that low carb, you know, isn't for everybody. So you really need to make sure that this is something, you know, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, you shouldn't be going low carb. If you're taking certain medications, you have to be really careful. So just always keep that in mind. This isn't medical advice, but just general education. So low carb, high protein. Protein is really important for building muscle. And if you start to lose weight, your body is going to break down your muscle mass if you're not getting enough protein. And protein is something that your body doesn't store. So you need to be eating protein at each meal. So you need to eat protein 3 meals a day, morning, noon, and night. Or if you're eating 2 meals, eat it 2, whatever your schedule is for eating. But you can't reduce your protein. You must increase your protein if you're trying to lose weight. It's just kind of a bottom line thing. That's one of the things that I work with on people, because a lot of times eating a healthy protein, people really have a hard time with that, especially if you are a carb person. And I say are a carb person, we're all carb people. Our brain loves carbs. We've been raised on them. We've been led to believe that we need to live to eat, you know, eat majority carbs. And we don't, especially when your body has a hard time with carbohydrates. You need to move and build muscle and improve your metabolic health. There's a lot of different ways, a lot of different exercise plans. The number one exercise plan I tell people is the one that they're going to be consistent with, at least to start off, especially if you're struggling to eat or to move rather consistently. Move the way you will move. So that's where you need to start. You need to start with something that you can be consistent with. You need evidence in your brain that you can do this. You need to do something that's fun so that your brain sees movement as pleasurable. Otherwise, it will not do it. So find a good way to do it. Find something you like about it and focus on that. You know, what your brain focuses on is going to either help you do something or not. So if all you focus in, all you're focusing on is how horrible it feels to get up at 5:30 in the morning to get your walk in, then your brain's not going to want to do it. If you focus on how wonderful you feel after you go for your walk and how clear-headed you are for the rest of the day, then you are going to be more likely to walk. And that's something that, all that mindset stuff is really, the focus in a lot of ways in my health coaching world and with my clients. You have to be careful with saturated fats, and I know there's a lot on keto out there. I'm not anti-keto. I think it could really work. There's a lot of evidence that it works for people. You just have to be really careful with, because fats are still energy, and while I don't count calories, they're very calorically dense, very energy dense. If you're pairing that with high calorie foods, so if you're massive amounts of calories, it's just going to get stored as fat. So, you know, I don't count calories, but if you're eating a piece of protein and a, you know, a plate of broccoli, you're never going to need to count calories. if you drizzle, if you have a little piece of avocado or some healthy olive oil on your, you know, whatever you're eating, if you're within, you know, reasonable kind of common sense sort of amounts on your fats and your foods and all of that, you're not going to have to count calories. If you're going keto, you just have to be a little careful about how many calories you're ingesting and what you're eating with your fats, because a lot of times people be, you know, they're you know, having bulletproof coffee in the morning. If you pair that bulletproof coffee with, you know, a donut or, you know, a muffin, it's not helping you. So, you know, getting out of that denial mindset, I think, is part of it. And I've been there. So this isn't coming from a place of judgment. I totally get it. Our mind can play games on us. So the other thing is really dialing in your stress and reducing your cortisol levels. Your cortisol is another one of those hormones that will increase your blood sugar levels. Now, what am I doing? I kind of alluded to this at the beginning. I'm using a CGM, which is a continuous glucose monitor. I got it through NutriSense, and I'll put a link in the description for this podcast so that you can learn how to get one too. You don't need a prescription from your doctor. You do need to answer some health questions because they do get medical clearance through, I believe, a physician in order to send one to you. But it's super easy. It takes just a few minutes, and as long as they clear you to get one, you can get a continuous glucose monitor. They're super easy. You put them, you stick it on your arm, you wear it for 2 weeks, and it lasts for 2 weeks. You can get it for, you know, months on end, however many you want to get. I would do it at least for 2 weeks. I would suggest doing it for 3 months. That's where I'm starting, because you're at the beginning just gathering data and looking at what am I eating? What are the circumstances that cause my blood sugar levels to rise? So if you know your blood sugar levels are rising, and if you're getting this high variability and these high spikes, then you know your insulin levels are rising. And, you know, for one of the eye-opening things for me is my body responds the same to a sweet potato as it does to brown rice, as it does to a slice of pizza, or two slices of pizza. So all of those things. Now, yes, sweet potatoes are much healthier for me, and there are some really great benefits to sweet potatoes, and they are much healthier because they have nutrients in them than some brown rice, and they're better than a slice of pizza. But if I'm looking at it from the standpoint of what's going on with my insulin, and if I'm trying to lose some belly fat, that may be something that I need to really limit at this time, or figure out how and when I can eat it so that I'm not getting that same response. Because like I said, those spikes and those big, you know, the big curves, the big variability in your glucose is causing more insulin to be secreted. And, you know, we know the end result of that over time. So the CGM has been really eye-opening for me. It has also been really helpful in me dialing in my urge to pick at things, because it's very easy for me to go into the pantry and grab, you know, a cookie. I won't sit necessarily and eat a whole package of them, but if you do that frequently enough throughout the day and you think it's not a big deal because you're just picking, you're not really thinking it's impacting. At least that's how my brain is working, right? My brain is denying the fact that these are causing my blood sugar levels to stay high throughout the day. So now I've got this visual, because I have the CGM on my arm, I use my phone to scan it, and it tells me right away. And I'll know within a half hour of what I've eaten, how it's impacting my blood sugar levels. Knowing that makes me not want to eat those things because it is really, really evident. There's no way to deny it. And it's been a really helpful behavioral tool. I will say that there are a lot of great ways also to eat certain foods, like a sweet potato. I have noticed that if you, and there's evidence for this as well, this isn't just something that I've noticed, but if you eat your protein first and your vegetables, you eat your protein, then your vegetables, and then your carbohydrate, your like higher carbohydrate, like let's say your sweet potato, if you eat that at the end and you eat fairly slowly, if you take your time eating your protein and your vegetables, that carbohydrate will have less of an effect on your blood sugar levels. And then also, the other thing that I think is really interesting is that if my blood sugar levels are a little bit high because I'm stressed, or I didn't get enough sleep the night before, or the day before, I did not do that well. Maybe I went out and ate differently and not so great for me. The next day, if I eat something, it has more of an impact. So all of that information is really helpful because it helps you decide how to then plan your meal the next day. What do I need? And sometimes your body's telling you it wants more carbohydrates and you know that it's not a good thing for you. And when you begin to kind of use that muscle of resisting these urges based on what you think your body's telling you, you just start to develop better control over your eating habits. And then it also changes how then you respond to eating. So I say that the CGM is a fantastic tool. This is not something, in my opinion, that you need to be a type 2 diabetic to benefit from. Of course, if you are going down that road, if you are diagnosed as pre-diabetic diabetic, I think it's fabulous. I wish all of my patients had them, but that's not something, you know, as a healthcare provider, it's not within my scope to recommend. But as a health coach, I'm telling you, I think it is really eye-opening. I think it's empowering. I think the medical field in the next 10 years will probably start recommending people wear these more often because they're going to see the benefit to it. But right now, you know, if you're not diagnosed with anything, and even if you are, some insurances don't pay for it. So it is a bit of an investment. But the investment now, in my opinion, will save you years down the road, because if you do develop diabetes, and I'm saying pre-diabetic, so there's probably 70 to 80% of adult Americans who are, who have some type of, have some form of metabolic disease or on the spectrum of pre-diabetic and diabetic. 8 out of 10 people who are pre-diabetic don't even know that they're pre-diabetic. So this could be really, really eye-opening and potentially life-saving for you, because if you can prevent all of these things from occurring later on in life, you're just going to live potentially a much longer, healthier life, because the secondary effects of metabolic disease are awful. You know, it ages you so much quicker. So that is my spiel. If you are interested in the CGM, I am putting a link to it. You get a coupon for it through the link. It's actually a really awesome program. I think I will be sharing more. And if you're interested in health coaching, I have some availability for one-on-one coaching. I am also beginning, now I'm recording this in June of 2022, so this may change. But as of probably sometime in August, I haven't set a date yet, I will be starting a group coaching program for people who want to experience some accountability, community, and health coaching, but not necessarily one-on-one coaching. I am going to be beginning that in August, but I do have availability for one-on-one coaching. My program ranges from 3 to 5 months. I'm leaning towards 5 months. Right now I have a 3-month program, but I think it's going to be 5 months actually. I'm finding that most of my clients who are in this same category as me with, I think, you know, dealing with the effects of some insulin resistance, it takes a little bit longer. And that's okay. We're not going to necessarily lose or drop 15 pounds in a month or two or even three. It's a more sustainable weight loss and healthier weight loss program. So thank you for hanging with me. Please, if you are interested in hearing more and you aren't necessarily ready or wanting to have a health coach, just hit the subscribe button so that you get notified when I provide more information. I will be doing a lot more on YouTube for low carb living. I am figuring out how to share some low-carb recipes. I just want to help people see how easy this could be. It doesn't have to be overwhelming to make these changes and live a healthier life. So that's it. I'm out. Have a great day. I am so excited to announce that I will be rolling out the Better Body Formula, which is an online health coaching program to help my lady friends like me in midlife struggling to lose weight and feel good in their bodies. It is a step-by-step approach with coaching as part of the program and something that you can do at your own pace. So you could say goodbye to dieting and finally have an easy to follow formula, a formula that has taken years for me to develop because yes, I was the guinea pig. I was the one going through all of these ups and downs and making all of these mistakes. But I've packaged all of those mistakes and all of the things that I've learned from my 2 certifications in health coaching, from all my knowledge about the human body, about the human brain, and about the life of a woman in midlife, a busy mom, a career woman, and how to implement the best program to finally take charge of your body, enhance energy, and learn how to listen to your body so that you're not having to go to experts and you're not having to go to books and people telling you, you know, totally different things. This is one program where you get to decide what is the best method for you and learn how to identify your unique roadblocks, the things that get in your way. I spent a lot of time self-sabotaging my weight loss efforts, and some of those were limiting beliefs that I had, and other reasons were totally physiological things that I didn't understand. If you want to get on the wait list, go ahead and click the link that's in the show notes. It is going to be an awesome program, self-paced. Like I said, it's going to have some coaching component to it, so I will be helping you throughout the way and helping you create awesome confidence that impacts your life in every way. To get on the wait list for the Better Body Formula, go to land.getbetterwithheather.com/betterbody. This is the wait list that I will use to send out email updates so that you are the first to know about this program when it becomes available. And I guarantee that there are going to be some awesome bonuses to the first few members of this program. So go ahead, sign up. All you have to do is put your email address in and I will send you those updates.